Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 3rd, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Beleaguered Zimbabwe Football Association President Cuthbert Dube has resigned.
I can confirm that the FIFA president, Cuthbert Dube, has stepped down as FIFA president. Supreme Authority, the Parliament of Football, the FIFA Assembly, will chart the way forward.
Relatives of abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara engaged state security agents in their search for the political activist who has been missing for almost 7 months.
For the past 2 weeks, we've interacted with them. Although I'm not in a position at this juncture to divulge the details of our interaction.
And tonight on the Women's Forum, Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira speaks to United Nations Deputy Secretary General Dr. Fatsai Kwaradzimba. Beleaguered Zimbabwe Football Association President Cuthbert Dube has resigned following pressure from the football fraternity accusing him of failing to properly run soccer in the country. ZIFA spokesman Xolisani Kwesela tells Studio 7 the ZIFA president will leave office in December.
I can confirm that the ZIFA president, Cuthbert Dube, has stepped down as ZIFA president.
Why did he step down?
He has expressed gratitude to a number of people, the number of stakeholders, the number of individuals that contributed during his reign as FIFA president.
Taking into account that Mr. Dube has stepped down, so what happens next? Who is going to take over on an interim basis?
He has made it clear that he intends to remain as FIFA president until elections for a new president are held on the 5th of December 2015.
So now, looking at that kind of arrangement, is it not going to be problematic since some people were actually calling for his head already?
I don't think so. That is problematic. It will be released to a number of council members that were calling for him to step down.
When is he going? What is he saying exactly?
According to the press statement, he has indicated that he intends to be ZIFA president until new elections for the president are held on the 5th of December 2015.
So, which means he'll be the president until that period. And have you heard what some of the councillors are saying about this issue, Mr. Kwesela?
Because he has just resigned a few hours ago, the council will make the way forward since we are having our extraordinary general meeting at the Prince Edward.
What is going to be required?
The ZIFA Council is the supreme authority. It is sui generis over all activities at the ZIFA. So the supreme authority, the Parliament of Football, the ZIFA Assembly, will chart the way forward.
That was ZIFA spokesman Xolisani Kwesela speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Relatives of abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara engaged state security agents in their search for the political activist who has been missing for almost 7 months. His brother, Partisan, says they are worried about Itai's disappearance despite high-level discussions they've been holding with police and state spy network, the Central Intelligence Organization, or CIO. He speaks to Studio 7 about the latest development, which is in line with the High Court order compelling the state security agents to look for Itai and make the necessary reports to relevant authorities.
There is much nothing that has moved regarding that issue. He is still on the same spot. We remain oblivious, really, as to what transpired or what's happening. So, yeah, that's a bit worrying. That's really worrying because nothing is really given.
So are you getting any feedback from the police or Central Intelligence Organization or any state security apparatus concerning this issue?
Yes, for the past 2 weeks, we've interacted with them, although I'm not in a position at this juncture to divulge the details of our interaction. But yes, I can confirm that for the past 2 weeks, we've interacted with them at various intervals.
So this interaction, is it the one that is now causing some kind of worry in the family?
Not really. What worries me is just the fact that this whole thing has prolonged and we seem to have not really established what transpired. And that is really what is worrying us.
That was Partisan Dzamara, the brother of abducted political activist Itai Dzamara, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Zamara's organization has been calling for President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to properly run Zimbabwe. And life has been very hard for Itai's wife, Shefra, who has been receiving counseling from a local organization. She speaks to Studio 7 about this and related issues.
Really missing, it's very difficult for me and the children. Every day it's difficult for me because I'll be thinking where he is, what is happening to him. It's really difficult.
So now, have you had any kind of counseling from anybody about this issue?
Yes, I'm getting counseling from CSU, counseling service unit.
How do they talk to you about this issue?
They just comfort me. Counseling in general.
Do you think that it is it soothing your soul in one way or the other?
Yeah, it's helping me a lot.
Give us details. How does it do that?
It's helping me because counselors will be listening to me. I'll be pouring my heart to them and they'll be giving me advice what to do.
What do they normally tell you?
They normally tell me to be strong.
And what will they be meaning about that?
To be strong for the kids and to put my trust in God.
When we talk about kids, what are they saying these days about that dad who has been missing for 7 months?
Yeah, 7 months. They miss him. They talk a lot about their dad. Sometimes you find them looking at his pictures. So you'll see that the kids are really missing their dad.
And what is your reaction normally about that?
When I see my kids or looking at their father's pictures or talking about that, I get emotional. It really pains me to see my kids looking at their father's pictures, talking about him. It really pains me because I really understand that they don't know where he is. They really miss him.
And what are some of the questions they are always asking you there?
Like the eldest, my firstborn, when is he coming back? And sometimes he says, when he comes back, I'll be very happy. I will not go outside to play with my friends. Yeah.
And normally, what is your reaction to that?
We are praying he'll be back.
And the young one?
She doesn't say a lot.
But does she see that there's a problem around there?
Yeah.
How?
Sometimes she just say, Daddy, please come. When she's playing alone outside, you just hear her shout, Daddy, please come. Daddy, chuyai. That's what she say.
Mm. So now you are getting a lot of support from the counseling services and other people. Are you getting any kind of support from the Zamara family?
The Zamara family, they are really supporting me.
So give us more details about that.
They support me financially. They support me. They really make sure that I'm satisfied with my kids.
Are you happy with that kind of support?
I am very happy and grateful.
Can you send them a message right now? Tell them something.
Right. Okay. To the Zamara family, I really appreciate what you are doing for me and my children. May God bless you. And may we keep on praying for the safe return of Itai. I know God will intervene and Itai will be released soon. Let's keep on praying.
That was Shefra Zamara, the wife of abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Zamara, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is Sandra Nyaira standing in for Marvelous Ntlanga Nyawiye on the Women's Forum. I'm speaking with Dr. Fadzai Gwaradzimba, who was recently appointed by the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon as the UN's Deputy Secretary General responsible for safety and security. Welcome, Dr. Gwaradzimba.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let me ask you, as a Zimbabwean woman, what does your role at the UN mean for your fellow Zimbabwean?
One of the things that is so important, and my sisters, is that, you know, one is a role model whether they like it or not. I have benefited from looking at role model, my peers, those above me and those coming below me. And I thought to myself, well, one day some Zimbabwean young woman or young girl out there in Binga or wherever will look up and say, I want to work for the United Nations. Well, let me see. Google it. And she will find that there has been a Zimbabwean woman who is there at the top. And so that possibility, that credibility gap becomes narrower. She thinks, yes, I can do this. So-and-so has done it. And maybe they can link up with me and talk to me about what they want to do. So I think that my fellow Zimbabwean women will be and should be pleased. And hopefully they will also be cheering me on.
What advice would you give to them, those who are in and outside the UN, who dream of one day, you know, breaking that glass ceiling?
I think the advice I have is one has to have passion for what they want to do and stay the course. There are going to be a lot of obstacles on the way. There can be friends saying, oh, it's not done, you cannot do it. It can be cultural or tradition, as you rightly mentioned. We have a very patriarchal society traditionally. And I think being different, people shouldn't worry about being different. Step a little bit outside of the box and do what your heart tells you. Listen to that inner drama. That is who you are, and that is what is going to carry you through all the institutional or social barriers. And I can't stress enough that excellence is so important. You have to be good at what you do, and you have to be 150% better. And that goes for all women. They have to work harder. They are looked at very differently. Society is not there yet in terms of we're on par with men. And therefore, as a woman, put your best foot forward, always be prepared and work hard and focus on what you want to do. And, of course, network and ask for help, because people can only say no. So there is no need to fear asking for help. It doesn't show weakness. It actually shows strength. And that has helped me a lot also in my career.
Let's talk about mentors. Did you have one when you were, you know, climbing that ladder who encouraged you to keep going when the going got tougher? And are you willing to be a mentor to other women who are looking up to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, there have been mentors, you know, above me and below me and, you know, within the same peer group. And I have had wonderful mentors. Some of them were my bosses. I can mention even the ones that I had at school at this Asha. There was a woman, I think she was called Mrs. Mutsairo, the first woman who had a university degree. And I used to look at her. I never talked to her. And I would think, well, I want to be that woman one day. That's another way of mentoring people by role modeling. And I had another teacher, Mrs. Esaguli, a woman of four kids on her own. And she taught us science. And she just inspired me so much into saying, I want to be like that woman, smart, dynamic, and on the go. And in my current work, I mean, I've had many mentors, and those women have been tremendously important to me in terms of what you can do for yourself and how you can carry on, even as you say, the going is tough.
Your voice is obviously one that can be used to effect change as a top diplomat. And so looking at your country of birth, Zimbabwe, which for the past decade has been going through a lot of political and economic problems, do you have advice for the leaders in that country, what they could do, you know, going forward?
Let me put it this way, Sandra. Having lived outside of Zimbabwe for nearly 30 years now, it would be really presumptuous of me to say to the leaders, this is what you should do. But more fundamentally, of course, as a UN official, I am not allowed to comment on the politics, economics, etc. of member state nations. And therefore, this time I would decline to say anything. I love Zimbabwe very, very much, and I want it to succeed. And I think tapping into the young talent that I see and the next generation takes the baton and carries it forward, I think there's a lot that could happen that would be very positive in that country.
You have been listening to the Women's Forum with me, Sandra Nyaira. My guest tonight was Dr. Fadzai Gwaradzimba, the United Nations Deputy Secretary General responsible for safety and security. Please remember to tune in next week. Marvelous will be back giving you more about Zimbabwean women wherever they are. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Thanks very much, Sandra Nyaira. We hope you are going to have a lovely weekend. In the music segment, tonight we are taking a look at dancehall music in Zimbabwe. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
In homes, commuter, omen buses, and drinking places, it is Zim Danso all over. Rarely do you get into a commuter omen bus without hearing Killer T reverberating. Talkie vibes also dominates the airwaves. That is how Zim Danso has stolen the thunder over most of the music genres. Yes, there is the Chimurenga music, which was made popular by the legendary Thomas Mapumo. Sulumani, Alan, Douglas, and Tryson Chimbetu are still raising the Dendera music flag high following the death of Simon and Nyson Chimbetu, but it is Zim Danso that everyone is now talking about. Farai Muroiwa tells us why.
It's because it's been too long we had to have people to identify with our own culture, our own image as Zimbabweans. If you look at America, they have their own Justin Bieber's. If you look at South Africans, they have their own Kwaito. So here in Zimbabwe, now we have an identity.
From the young to the old, they know Killer T. Even those of 10 years and below, they've heard of Talkie Vibes, Soldier Love, Dada D, Shinsoman, King Shadi, Sniper Strong, and others in that league. The music's massive following has seen shows being staged in stadiums or in open-air venues, as night spots and halls cannot accommodate the music's huge numbers of followers. National organizers of major events have realized the impact Zim Danso music has made, that those in the forefront of the Zimbabwe International Carnival have gone to the extent of reserving a night in their 9-day program to accommodate Zim Danso music. More importantly, is the fact that most of the shows attract 10 or more musicians, giving the fans a wider choice, while the show itself ends the next day in the morning instead of midnight when robbers are roaming around the streets. What has also made dancehall music different from the rest of the pack is the fact that unlike most of the top musicians who are either recycling old hits or trying to imitate one another, Zim Danso has a distinctive rhythm and style. Although the lyrics seem to be those of a younger age, even those of 30 years and above are enchanted by the music. Promoters are also jostling to have the likes of Talkie Vibes and Killer T in their lineup of their shows, as Zim Danso is now loved by all. Promoter Patson Chimbodza of Chippers Music Promotions was shocked by the response he got when he organized a dancehall music show at Dzivarasekwa Stadium. The only musicians in the country who are competing with the Zim Danso clan are Oliver Mtukudze and Ja Praiser of the Jerusalem FM. What is said, however, is the open smoking of marijuana or mbanje these shows, and the drunkenness of girls in particular after taking potent alcohol beverages like Zed or Bronco and related drinks. But Muroiwa says this is part of society the world over.
I think in each and every genre, each and every country, you find people who smoke, people who abuse drugs. And we can't run away from the fact that there are people like that in this country. But on a positive note, a lot of these guys, they actually shun those things.
Many, however, are waiting for a show that will feature the likes of Killer T, Talkie Vibes, Oliver Mtukudzi, and Ja Praiser. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks very much, Michael. Now to recap today's top stories. Relatives of abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara engaged state security agents in their search for the political activist who has been missing for almost 7 months. And relatives of abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara engaged state security agents in their search for the political activist. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.